So our reading now this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. Jesus told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "Oh, what shall I do? I've no place to store all my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God," said Jesus. And then Jesus said this to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." So this is a reading that is often set for harvest, and it's essentially a reading of two halves. And the first half is a story. It's a story that Jesus tells, and it's a story about a certain man. And he's a very certain type of man. This man is a very, very rich man. Probably tell by his jacket. He's a very wealthy, stylish, sophisticated man. And thanks. This man has a lot of money, like a lot of money. In fact, he's got so much money, he sort of doesn't know what to do with it. So occasionally his bank manager rings. "Oh, hi, yeah, Tarquin. Yeah. So, yeah, my shares have gone up again. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, they've gone up again. I just don't know what to do with all the money. It's crazy. It's like so much money. And I'm like thinking, Tarquin, what am I going to do? Yeah. So I'm thinking, just a minute. I've got a delivery. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's my new... It's my new gadget. Where should I put that? I'll put that there. Yeah, so I just don't know what to... Oh, sorry. Yeah, not the delivery. Thank you. Cheers, chat. Oh, is that the latest? Oh, the Galaxy A3. 5G. 5G. Wonderful. Yeah, I did have the 4G, but the 4G is rubbish. Let's put that there. Yeah, great. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. More deliveries. Yeah, so I'm wondering what to do with all this money. I'm thinking, shall I... I need to open some more accounts, basically. Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. I think I need to open another account, yeah, so I can butt all the money in, because I just don't know what to do. I've got, thank you, more, yeah, I've just got some new laptops arriving and some new tech kit, yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh, there's a new iPad out. Yeah, well, I've just ordered that, so that should be coming any moment now, I think. Is that the new... Excuse me, young man. This is not how you treat equipment. I've paid a lot... Excuse me! No, I'm sorry, Tarquin, I'm just having a bit of trouble with the Amazon delivery guy. Yeah, absolute nightmare, I know. Well, they get paid a pittance, don't they? So they don't know, do they? Yeah, oh yeah, the new iPad's here, so that's great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's the new iPad. Yeah, it's massive, absolutely massive. Yeah, so what I'm thinking with the money and the shares... thank you, that's great. That's great, yeah. What I'm thinking with the money and the shares is I probably need to open a few more accounts. Yeah, well, also, I've got too much stuff here. So I'm going to, you know, the third mansion? I think I'll just put an extension on that. Yeah, I'll phone the builder and I'll just get an extension on the mansion because I just don't know what to do with this stuff, you know. I mean, most of this stuff I probably won't get around to opening because, it's open already. Probably nicked the stuff from inside it, yeah.
Yeah, well, they get paid a pittance, don't they? Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do, I think. Open more accounts, spread out the money. Is that Sainsbury? Excuse me. Take that back. Waitrose for me, not Sainsbury's. Take it away. Yeah. So if you could do that, that would be great. Yeah, more accounts. Yeah. Well, I'll when the new mansion's extended, I'll put it there. That's great. Yeah. Okay, Tarquin. Yeah. Bye. Oh, don't clap. So Jesus tells us this story. There's a man who has loads of stuff, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And what he decides to do after thinking a while is to build a bigger storehouse so he can store all his stuff. And so that's what he does. But God says, "You are a fool. What you've done is foolish. For tonight, your life will end, and all that stuff that you've stored will go to waste." And Jesus finishes the story by saying, "This is how it will be. Whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." What an interesting phrase. The one who is not rich towards God. I wonder what that means. What does it mean to be rich towards God? Well, maybe it's something to do with the opposite of storing things up for yourself. Being rich towards God is perhaps the opposite of just hoarding things and keeping things to yourself. Being rich towards God involves sharing what you have and giving it away rather than hoarding it. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it, regarding hoarding stuff and storing things up. Like a depressing, self-fulfilling prophecy, we have a fuel crisis, don't we? The media tells us to panic because there isn't enough fuel, so everyone buys loads of fuel and then there isn't enough fuel for everybody. It's like going back to the good old lockdown one with the toilet rolls, isn't it? And people buying all the toilet rolls. And because people are hoarding, there isn't therefore enough for everyone because we're not sharing. But actually, there is enough for everyone. God's world is full of abundance, and harvest time shows us that because we gather in this stuff. And things like this, look at this, it's amazing, they grow, and they just grow. We have to do a bit of work in preparing the soil and planting the seeds, but this stuff just happens. Things just grow, food grows, and there is plenty. The problem isn't that there isn't enough. The problem is that we're not good at sharing, that we're not good at sharing it out. There is enough for everybody, but we're not good at sharing. So we end up with half the world hungry, with not enough food to eat, and the other half of the world with an obesity crisis, because they've got too much food to eat. And this brings us to part two of our reading. In part two, Jesus talks about food and clothing. He encourages us to stop worrying, to stop hoarding, and to stop panic buying. Jesus asks us to consider how God provides for the raven, to consider the beauty of the wild flowers, and to stop chasing after food and clothing. When Jesus refers to the raven, he says, "Notice how they don't store food in barns," unlike the chap in the little story that we just heard. So Jesus is wanting us to live in a way that is not anxious about stuff, possessions, riches, consumer goods. Live in a way that does not hoard goods, but distributes them, gives them away, shares them. What's interesting is the people that were listening to this story that Jesus was telling them, mainly, in the main anyway, were pretty poor people. They were people who, what we would probably call subsistence farmers. They were earning just enough to kind of feed their family and hopefully sell a little bit. But actually, if it was a bad harvest that year, then they might be in danger of starvation and their children, their family might be in danger. So I wonder what it's like to be in that position of poverty, which many of these people were in, and hear this story about a man who just has so much stuff that he has to knock down his barns and build bigger ones, and he doesn't eat the food. It's just going to waste. How must that feel when you're in poverty to hear a story like that, to hear that that's how some people choose to live? So this story and message is for those who don't have enough, reassuring them that God cares about them. But this story and message is also for those who have too much, for the rich. And it tells them to watch what they're running after. He says, "Do not run after wealth and possessions. Do not hoard your wealth and possessions. Avoid being possessed by your possessions, Jesus is saying. He says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. But your Father knows that you need them. So he's not saying that you don't need food and clothes. He's saying don't run after them. God will provide. Don't worry about them. Don't make them the main thing going in over in your mind. Have a different focus. I heard someone teaching this week about how a really good way to understand Jesus' teachings and message is to swap the word kingdom for the word economy. So the kingdom of God becomes the economy of God. And with that little switch, we get a better understanding of what Jesus was talking about. God's economy is generous. Unlike capitalism, where the rich few get richer and richer, and the poor have to scrabble around underneath. God's economy, God's kingdom, is different to this. God's economy, God's kingdom, is just. Listen to how these verses come alive when you do this swap. Now go, Jesus said, proclaim the good news. The economy of God has come near. What about this? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the economy of God. See, for the rich man, it's really hard to enter that economy where you are to share and to give. There's the rich young man, isn't there, who turns away because Jesus says, what you need to do is give everything away. But he can't do it because his whole identity, his whole life is caught up in this stuff that he owns. He can't give that away because who would he be without it? He's become possessed by his possessions. Or the words that Jesus tells us to pray. Your economy come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The good news is good news for the poor because it is about a new economic reality. So having heard this story that Jesus told and listened to Jesus' advice about the ravens and the flowers, what do you think the man in this story could have done differently? How could he have been rich towards God? What could he have done instead of hoarding all that stuff and keeping it to himself? And here's the final challenge. How can we be rich towards God? How can we live generously? What could we give away? How can we live in the economy of God? How can we be good news to the poor? Let's talk to God about this briefly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the stories that you told that were so full of life and meaning and messages for us and for those who were listening. And Lord, we want to listen to your story this morning and we want to respond. Lord, would you put your finger on anywhere in our lives, in our minds or our hearts, where we are concerned with possessions and concerned with hoarding and keeping things to ourselves? And instead, would you shine your light on that place that reassures us that we do not need to be anxious? We do not have to run after these things. Instead, we can be at peace in your economy. And Lord, we pray that your economy would come. We pray for those who are in poverty, that they would receive what they need. We pray that you would help us not to keep stuff to ourselves, but to be generous in how we live, that we may live in the economy of your kingdom that is defined by generosity and justice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.